Ahead on College Football Live, Georgia head coach Kirby Smart joins us. He'll talk about the keys to beating Tennessee and what he's learned from Nick Saban and Bobby Bowden. Plus, how will Hurricane Delta impact college football in the Southeast? It's already moved LSU, Missouri. Dabo's Clemson Tigers are on watch as well.
I mean, usually these kind of night games, I'm thinking Notre Dame at home, Louisville.
Pete, I can hear you. We've played in hurricanes before. We actually play in the hurricanes. We got double hurricanes this week.
Just what everybody needs. Dabo Swinney with hurricanes on the mind for not one but two reasons. I'm Wendy Nix. Glad to have you. Todd McShay and Desmond Howard are here as well. Listen, Dabo can make light of it, but we'll talk about what the impact Hurricane Delta may have. But we will start with Saturday's marquee matchup. Dabo's top-ranked Clemson Tigers taking on the number 7 Miami Hurricanes. Game day will be in Death Valley this week. Clemson hosting Miami. And for the Tigers, they've won 35 straight regular season games, tied for the 5th longest streak in the AP poll era. However, consider this. Miami 2-0 at Clemson, something only Alabama and Florida can say. For Miami, this season has been much different than last year, at least on offense. They are averaging 17 points more per game and on pace to set a school record in yards per game. The biggest difference, though, the Canes rushing for 232 yards per game, nearly double last season. Here's head coach Manny Diaz.
It's a hype game, top 10, all this, that, and the other. But at the end, it just still comes down to the things that it takes to, you know, we follow our plan to win. We have good days. If you don't follow the plan to win it, you make it really tough on yourself. Big thing is just going to be able to look adversity in the face and keep swinging, because they're going to present some adversity. Obviously, they're really good in all three phases. And, you know, they're going to land a punch. That's okay. We've got to show the ability we can take a punch, shake it off, and then deliver a punch right back.
Well, listen, Todd, I think it's fair to say that if Miami were to pull off the upset, they'll need De'Arik King to outplay Trevor Lawrence. Easier said than done. But what have been your early impressions of King?
I'm just so excited to see this game. I mean, you got Brent Venables on the defensive side, the highest paid assistant coach in all of college football, as the coordinator, and the way he stems pre-snap and everything he does. And then you've got De'Arik King, who I think is the most electric quarterback in the country right now in terms of his ability. Watch his ability not only to extend plays, but then to throw off platform, off balance, and the ball placement. I mean, to me, that's what's made this offense different. It's been really, I don't know, 20 years, maybe, Des, since we've seen a quarterback make this kind of impact for the Miami Hurricanes. I'm just so excited to see him against this really talented defense and with one of the best coordinators in all of the country.
Yeah, it's been about, you know, 2 decades. And the quarterback that they had then was not as electric or dynamic as De'Arik King. And that was Dorsey. You know, that was Kenny Dorsey. So it's been quite some time but they had a guy who's that dynamic at that position. But even though De'Arik King wears the name, I think that Cam Harris wears the crown. I think the running back for the Canes is a guy who has had a fantastic season. The offense seems to go through Cam Harris. He started off with a bang. He had a home run touchdown against UAB, showed some speed, and then followed that up with another home run touchdown against Louisville. So the guy averages over 8 yards per carry, 5 yards so far on the season. And when you have a running back like that behind De'Arik King, it just opens up the whole offense for OC Rhett Lashley. So I believe that the Canes offense goes through Cam Harris, and that will be the number one goal of the defense for the Clemson Tigers is to stop Cam Harris.
Anyway, you slice it, though, guys, it's been so long since we talked about Miami like this. It is fun, Todd. I agree. Looking forward to it. Miami and Clemson, 7:30 Eastern. from Death Valley. Listen, we talked about the hurricanes. The other hurricane, unfortunately, that Dabo referenced, and Mother Nature doing her part to wreak havoc over the weekend. If it's not one thing, it's the other. We know one game in particular already impacted the potential for another, Todd, as we talk about Ole Miss set to host Alabama, but there are contingency plans there too, because again, Hurricane Delta impacting really the majority of the Southeast.
Yeah, I was just, you know, the guys I work with, Todd Blackledge, Sean McDonough, Molly McGrath, they're on the phone right now talking to Devontae Smith, Patrick Surtain, and some of the players. And I was just texting with our producer, and it's been back and forth in terms of the information. What we heard a couple days ago is it was a possibility of moving the game to Sunday. And then what we heard last night is there's a possibility of moving the game up to Friday. But the athletic directors both agree that they're determined to get this game in as long as it's safe and possible. But right now, I'm getting ready to get on a flight tomorrow morning to fly down to Memphis to drive over to Oxford. And I still don't know when we're going to have a game.
Listen, and that's one thing, Todd, for you. It's difficult for everybody, but there are players here and coaches. And it's difficult, Des, I would think. Certainly people who are used to a routine, who just don't know. Now, I know we've all had to be flexible lately, but what kind of impact does this have on just getting ready to play the ball game?
Well, I think that because of what the players have had to deal with so far in 2020, that the coaches have probably emphasized to them, this is going to be a very unusual year. We have to be extremely flexible. You guys need to be patient. And more so than anything, we have to have the ability to adjust to situations, adapt and adjust. And I would sell to my players, if we can adapt and adjust, then we will come out on top, because the team or the program that can adapt and adjust to the new norm, which changes weekly, that team will be the team that's going to be successful. So I believe that's something that all these coaches have preached to their players since the college football season began, because we are dealing with the unknown, and you have to be flexible and be able to just roll with the punches, like my man Manny Diaz said about his game against Clemson, roll with the punches as they come.
And Des, it's
and
so
they
funny
keep
you
coming,
say that,
Todd.
Because we had a lot. Yeah, we had a long conversation with Nick Saban a couple weeks ago before the Alabama-Missouri game. And when we walked out of it, we were all saying somehow he's found a way to make this a strength, an advantage for their program. Yeah. Because he's embraced it, and they're focused on, let's get the edge. What edge can we get? And it's interesting to see.
Absolutely.
Some teams are frustrated and bothered, right? But with Saban and Alabama, they love it. They feed off of it.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, that's going to make all the difference this year, Des, because that is the point. Because to your earlier point, it's what we're all doing it. It's just the way it goes. Again, we'll continue to watch. Have a weather report perhaps tomorrow on Hurricane Delta. Still to come on College Football Live, though, it is the marquee game on the SEC slate. Georgia head coach Kirby Smart will join us. He'll talk about the Bulldogs' keys against Tennessee in a matchup of top 15 teams. And North Dakota State quarterback Trey Lance made it official. He's declared for the NFL draft. Todd McShay has looked at the film, and we'll talk about what his potential at the next level might look like.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's head to Athens, Georgia. Kirby Smart took over for the Bulldog program in 2016. Since then, he's won 46 games. Only Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Ohio State have more. The defense strong, the fifth best of any FBS team during that time, allowing just over 17 points per game. And the Bulldogs in the last three SEC title games, they've been there. Last year, they lost at the hands of the eventual national champion, LSU Tigers. As for the Georgia signal callers, well, it's been a busy year. Back in January, Jake Fromm left early for the NFL just a few days before Wake Forest transfer Jamie Newman announced he'd be heading to Athens. A few months later, USC transfer JT Daniels announced he, too, would head to Georgia. And as we enter week three of SEC play, we've seen two other names under center for the Bulldogs. Joining us now, Georgia head coach Kirby Smart. And Coach Smart, as you can see, of course, you've lived it. It's been quite the revolving door at quarterback for the Bulldogs. Tell me about Stetson Bennett and the early impressions so far.
Well, Stetson's a young man that we've valued in our program for a long time. He came in as a walk-on, preferred to walk-on, did a great job for us, went to Mississippi and competed, and then was able to come back and come on scholarship. And he was our backup last year. He backed Jake up. He took a lot of our reps. He got a lot of experience, and he's continued to get better.
Coach, you won four national titles on the staff at Alabama, Georgia last year, all the way to the SEC championship game. So you certainly understand what it takes. So I'll ask you, what will it take for Georgia to be a contender in 2020?
Well, first thing you got to do is you got to handle the gauntlet of the SEC. And this week's game is a big matchup, playing a Tennessee team. It's one of the hottest teams in the country. Jeremy's done a great job there, but it's week by week in our conference. You got to make it to that point in order to even think about the national championship.
Oh, there's no question. And you talk about Coach Pruitt. I know you guys have quite the history. You go way back. But what do you expect from his Tennessee team this weekend?
A physical football game. I mean, when you look at them, they got a physical defensive and offensive line. We like to think we're the same. And it's going to be a good physical football game. Well coached, really good special teams on both sides. And attention to detail will be there. And ultimately, it boils down to the players going out and making plays.
Coach, listen, we're seeing in the NFL this week a lot of repercussions from COVID. The college game has certainly had its fair share. You know, how do you manage the possibility that anything can change at any minute because of what we're dealing with really around the globe?
Yeah, it's been a unique year, to say the least, in terms of testing protocols, meeting rooms we can't go in, space we can't use. It's made our total routine really different. But you can't let your guard down. We've got a great medical staff here. Ryan Corson and his staff have done a tremendous job to help us prepare for this and stay on top of it. And you're all only as good as your last test. You know, you can think you've got it made, and then one test later, you could have some guys out. So you've got to have a lot of guys prepared. You got to have a lot of depth in order to get where you want to get.
Yeah, flexible. It certainly had to have been the word of the year. There's no question. I'd be remiss not to ask you about your coaching history because you coached, of course, with Nick Saban, but also with Bobby Bowden, really two of the more iconic figures in college football. What have you learned from those two, from your history with these coaching giants?
You know, the biggest thing I take from both of them is just never getting too high, never getting too low. I mean, it's the truth always lies somewhere in the middle in terms of how good you are or how good you aren't. And patience is the key. And, you know, developing young men is probably the best thing that both of those guys have done in their careers besides winning a lot of football games. And usually if you develop men well, you'll win games as well.
It often comes down to fundamentals, but I'll ask you this before I let you go. If Georgia has to do one thing to be successful this weekend, what is it?
I would say protect the ball. You know, it's always the most important thing. It's a big part of the game, and it's never a trite expression to talk about the ball, the ball, the ball. We talk about it all the time. You got to do that well.
All right, Coach, best of luck. We'll be watching. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Go Dawgs.
So what's ahead for the Bulldogs this season? According to ESPN's FPI, they have a 65% chance to win the division and a 29% chance to win the conference. The program has nearly a 1-in-2 chance to make its second playoff appearance under Kirby Smart. Let's talk about the quarterback, though. Stetson Bennett, Todd, how do you compare what you see from him from what we saw from Jake Fromm a year ago?
Wendy, think about it. Like, in the last few years, how many quarterbacks have gone through Georgia? You know, Jake Fromm, obviously, to the NFL. Jacob Eason transfers to Washington. You've got Justin Fields. And then Dwan Mathis is supposed to be the next star. He comes in, and I, to be completely honest, I thought it was a quick hook on him. Threw an interception. Clearly, he was under 50% throwing, but they made the right decision, and it's been very obvious in the last game and a half. I mean, you can tell, first of all, the confidence that this offensive line has in him. You can tell that the run game is kind of balanced with what he's doing with play action. And the poise that he has in the pocket, that's what's impressed me the most. I think Stetson Bennett makes a lot of sense for a team that's loaded on defense, is more physical than we've probably seen in years up front, and can run the ball. It all just kind of works together.
And Desmond, Tennessee will have to stop all of that as it works together. What do they need to do to slow down this Bulldog offense?
Well, they have to stop the run. There's no doubt about that. And they got to win the battle in the trenches. I don't know about Todd, but when I watched the Georgia-Auburn game a week ago, I was really surprised at how the Georgia Bulldogs' offensive line just manhandled the Auburn Tigers' front seven the whole game. We're talking four quarters. So in order for them to do anything defensively, they're going to have to control the line of scrimmage. And I think that Tennessee is built for that. This is going to be a great challenge when you see Georgia's offensive line go up against Tennessee. Tennessee's front seven. Tennessee played very well against South Carolina, held them to 89 rushing yards, only 2.5 yards per rush, and they played well again against Missouri. But this is going to be the true test for Tennessee. How well are they on defense, especially in the front seven? Because we know Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs offense, they're going to be stubborn about wanting to run the football.
And this team, Georgia, defensively is talented. I mean, a year ago, they were good, right? But this year, you're starting to see some of the young guys that they recruited, the five-star guys, really start to step up. You know, the edge rushers, there's so much more speed coming off the edge. It's going to be a tough challenge. I mean, both sides of the ball in the trenches. I know it's not the sexiest part of football, but if you watch in the trenches in this game, that's where it's going to be won.
Well, and these two head coaches go way back, of course, too. So a lot of familiarity there. Again, Tennessee and Georgia, a marquee matchup on the SEC slate coming up this weekend. It's been a long time since Oklahoma has lost two straight regular season games. In fact, we have to go way back, but in fact, they have. What's next for the Sooners? It's been 21 years since back-to-back losses in the regular season. Todd McShay explains why they're reeling.
He's in a position to be a first-round draft pick.
Yep.
I tell you what, I used to say one game does not a season make. Guess what? I was wrong. We'll see you tomorrow.